Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hey, real quick, before we get started, I have a favor to ask. If you've listened to the podcast before, or if you enjoy the episode you're about to hear, please like the podcast on social media, and please leave a review. Having listeners like and review the podcast is the fastest way for it to grow and reach more people, and we really want to share our stories with the biggest audience possible. Thank you. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone Real Estate Team. That's right. We sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anyone looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Clear my throat.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. How are you today, Brian?
I'm good. Don't ask me how I'm doing anymore. I'm just assume that I'm doing well.
Well, you got kind of an attitude.
No, attitude. It's like it's just like you always like, how am I doing? I don't think it's sincere the way you're asking me. I think it's just something to say at this point.
Was it that obvious that it wasn't sincere?
Yeah, it's just like, I'm good. Don't worry about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today we are here with Sean and Lindsay Turner of Turner Contracting Services. All right. So Turner Contracting Services provides general contracting, home remodels, and construction services in the greater Charlotte area. So whether you need a full remodel or just general handyman services, Turner Contracting Services has you covered. Sean and Lindsay, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Thank you. Good to have you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so that was a real quick, brief introduction. But if you don't mind, share a little bit of your personal story, some of your professional background, and then how you guys got started with Turner Contracting Services.
Ladies first?
Okay, I'll go first. Okay. So let's see. I actually graduated college with a degree in child and family development, which has nothing to do with real estate or construction. Yeah. And I did that all the way until we had kids. And then when we had children, I stayed at home. I started a photography business and ran that for 9 years. And the reason I say that is because that business and developing that business and growing it really, we have seen so much of what I learned in just marketing and promoting a business and building a business has really helped us with building Turner Contracting. I got into real estate about 3 years ago, and so I am a licensed real estate agent. And Sean and I have always been interested in homes and new homes and real estate and things like that. We're actually high school sweethearts, which is so sweet.
Yes. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Good for you guys.
Before we had kids, though, we would love going to model homes and new neighborhoods and homeoramas and things like that. We just loved real estate and you know, construction and things like that. So that's kind of my part of everything. But he's been in the construction industry for a long time.
Yeah. So my story, back in high school, I loved architecture. I took drafting for like 3 years, and my senior year, my senior project was to design a house. That our teacher was an architect, and she had somebody that wanted to build a house, and so I designed the house, and that was my senior project. Supposedly they built it somewhere in Burlington.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
I couldn't imagine doing that in high school.
Yeah. Oh, no. We made balsa wood bridges.
I don't even think I did that.
Did you do that with Mr. Dissington?
Yeah.
No,
it's like a balsa wood bridge or something.
If I did,
that was physics.
Yeah.
Physics class, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I barely graduated high school because of physics. I needed to make a D. Or no, I needed to make a C.
All you had to do was pass it.
I made like, yeah, probably. Yeah. I just remember praying to God I passed physics. It was awful. I used to write like on a test, "Have mercy," like on the top. And he would give it back and said no.
He probably passed you. He's just like, dude, I don't want another year with this kid staring.
I digress. Sorry. I interrupt a lot.
That's fine. That's funny. So I originally came to UNCC to go to school to do architecture. And I remember going to apply to the architectural program, and the lady's like, well, let me see your portfolio. And so, I had all this stuff, machine parts that we had drawn. I mean, and everything back then, like CAD was just kind of coming out. So everything was by hand. And I loved doing it on drafting table. And So I have all these, the house that I designed, like all these things. And she's like, well, where's your artwork? And I'm like, artwork? What are you talking about artwork? This is architecture. Well, we want to know that you can design and you're creative and you're artsy. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work. So
not so much.
And so one thing led to another. I ended up not finishing school then and started working full time and actually was working for her uncle. Doing some carpentry stuff, design sets and stuff, and then I went to work for a large commercial tile contractor here in Charlotte. And then that led to me going to work for shortly after 9/11. He had lost a bunch of money and just the economy was kind of going down, and so he pulled me in his office and said, hey, I gotta let you go, but you need to call Kirk at Dow Tile because he's got a job for you. You just gotta go talk to him. And Dow Tile is the leading manufacturing distributor in the United States. So they manufacture all tile. So I went to work for them. Worked for them for 10 years. Ran their location up in Mooresville for 8 years. And I remember, like, me and my right-hand man, we would sit there and I'd be like, man, these guys coming in here, they can't tie their shoes. If they can run a business or at least make money to put food on the table, like, we could make a good living doing our own business, if it was a builder or a general contractor or whatever. And so I left there, transitioned into Ryan Homes, went to work for Ryan Homes, building houses, was a project manager for them for a little while. And then my old HR manager called me from my Dow Tile days and said she had some people that want to talk to me. And so I went to talk to some guys and ended up transitioning over to a company called ProBuild, which is building supply warehouse. So that really, the running the business at Dow Tile for 8 years and learning P&Ls and learning a lot of stuff. I mean, I was literally throwing the keys at like 25-ish, somewhere, or 24, 25. Like, and they're like, hey, call us if you need us. And I'm like, okay. But, and so that transit, so really learning how to run a business there and then learning how to build houses with Ryan and then learning a lot of the, what goes on behind the scenes with ProBuild from windows and doors and manufacturing all that stuff, distributing all that stuff, house that stuff. And then that they got bought, and so we ended up, they brought in their own management team. And then I went to work for a small kind of semi-custom builder out of Davidson called Blue Heel. Worked for them for a little over a year. And then they went through some transitional changes and made some changes, which inevitably kind of just put me out of my position. And I remember coming home on a Monday night and told her, hey, I'm not employed at Blue Heel anymore. And I think it was Thursday night at 9 o'clock that same week, she launched Turner Contracting on Facebook and we had 9 inquiries in 24 hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so that's really kind of brings us to where we're
at.
So
like a year ago when he, 3 job losses in 4 years kind of forces you to kind of think, maybe we should take charge of our own future and do something. And we had dreamed about owning our own business for, gosh, years, long time. And so a year ago we had kind of, or 2 years ago, I guess we kind of thought maybe now's the time, and then, you know, things just weren't right, and then he got the job working for the custom home builder, which was great. Everything has been like for a specific reason, and he has learned from every piece of the job losses and, you know, his career history. But so we were kind of ready, and so this time when it happened again, it was like, okay, now's it, no time to waste, and we launched it, and we did have nine inquiries in 24 hours, and so that kind of set the pace for the year that we've had.
So yeah, was that just like a whirlwind that you couldn't believe, and that you were like, I mean, it 9 was. In 24 hours.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I think the biggest thing for Lindsay figuring out was what she couldn't really get over was how many people called us in the very early stages, and we still get it now, of, I can't believe you called me back. Like, you're the first contractor to ever call me back. And and so we've gotten a ton of business just by responding. And we work together, clearly, because we own the company together. but we work well together. I stay in my lane. I know what I do. I know what I'm going to handle. And she handles her stuff. And it's, I mean, we work well together.
So that's a good segment. Who does what inside Turner Contracting?
Well,
depends on who you ask.
I remember,
who's the CEO? Who's in charge?
Well, here's the deal. Our guys that work for us, they call me Big Boss. and they call her grand boss.
That's right. So really, I'm the one in charge.
She's the CEO.
When I walk onto site, all the guys like tighten up a little bit.
Oh, they do. It's hilarious.
I'm the one that brings the checks too, so that's why.
She's here.
Yeah, but I think for me, being able to, well, having to learn to work at home for the past, 9 years of my photography business, and having kids around and learning how to just balance being at home but also needing to work. Really helped. And so like that first week we're at home and I'm like pecking away at the computer because I know there's so much that needs to be done, marketing and just, developing contracts and all that. And our desk was side by side and he was sitting there and he's just sitting there. And I look over, I literally was like, what are you working on right now? And he's like,
but follow it up with the rest, because it went like this. What are you working on right now? Because I need to know that you're being productive. Those are the exact words. It's like I'm laughing because that's just how we are. Yeah. I mean, we've been together since high school.
I was 16. So I just was like, listen, I need to know that you're doing something right now because I'm over here.
Now, if you're like me, Sean, you got upset? Did you get it? Like, don't question me. I know what I'm doing.
I'm doing stuff. I've got plenty to do. I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
Because in my mind, defensive. In my mind, I'm like, crap, what was I working on? Because you just threw me off.
That's just like me.
Yes.
Do you want to know what I'm doing?
I'm the one that's
I'll tell you what I'm doing. You booked the gigs.
I'm doing a lot of stuff.
You don't even know.
It's all up here, babe.
That's
no,
right.
I need to see it on paper.
It's happening. So I do the marketing. I do the website stuff. I do a lot of the sales.
The design.
So basically, we go out to the job sites together, and we both kind of want to have our eyes on each project as we're looking at it with our clients and kind of talking through what they want to do. Yeah, and kind of hearing their priorities and what their goals are for the project. And then from there, he obviously speaks to the construction part, and I try to speak to the design part. And then we pull all the information together. We don't really do what we call quotes anymore. We're really trying to do more of what we call a comprehensive project evaluation, where we're really giving them like step by step, detail by detail, a scope of work, and then what that investment is going to look like for their house. So I kind of take care of all of that, and then the contracts and payments, bookkeeping, all that fun stuff, and then he does all the construction.
The production side, right?
Absolutely.
So it's we work well together. We enjoy working together. And I couldn't imagine doing this by myself for sure, because all of that stuff she does, I can't stand that part of
this. Well, this is just an example of playing to your strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I know, for example, if I was in y'all's shoes, I wouldn't be good at either. I wouldn't be good at either one. I want to touch on, because a lot of our audience, they're business owners, they're entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
When you talk about marketing, what kind of marketing do you do for Turner Contracting?
Yeah. So I, again, go back to the photography days, because with that business, I just really learned a lot about social media marketing. And I, in 9 years, never spent a penny on advertising. I just learned how to market myself on the free outlets that are available to us, Instagram and Facebook, and running a blog and keeping up with a website. And so that's really all that we've done, and that and word of mouth and capturing customer testimonials and things like that. Putting our work out there, obviously photography is a very visual industry, mm-hmm. and this is just as much. So trying to keep our work and what we're producing just out there so people can see it. And then just trying to drive as much traffic as we can to our different social media outlets. And that's kind of all we've done. All we've done this year.
Yeah.
So
Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and all that.
Yeah, we do have Pinterest. And then our website. And then I started a blog a few months ago, so we can kind of share a little bit more. Like,
where's the blog? What's the website? We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's on one of the headings of the website.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was such a natural transition for you guys, but I'm really happy. Like, you can do the construction stuff, and you've learned all.
Yeah.
Can't you see Lindsay like, I need more lighting over here?
Yeah.
Need more lighting.
That's do actually... I already look like I'm that demanding?
No.
Is that what you're getting from me?
You're that artistic. That talented.
So I was talking with Blair. Blair's my wife. And we were driving to Target yesterday. I was like, man, the Jones Zone would just blow up if we had somebody like Blair to do the phone calls and the actual, like, keeping, like, at least me, keeping me on task.
Right.
But yeah,
but that's what
that's just reminding you. No, it's like you're playing.
But that's what we have found is happening to a lot of contractors. That's what we're hearing is that, you know, people are so surprised that we're calling them back. Well, I'm the one that's calling because I'm available to do that. Whereas most of these guys are, they're just an independent guy. So yeah, they're working all day and then they're collecting emails and voicemails and then they're having to try and do that on top of paperwork. And
it's working in your business, not on your business.
Yeah.
Email Revisited is a good book. Check it out.
Yeah.
Well, in the very first job we did, I was like, oh, I can do that. Cause I like to build stuff. I like to do stuff. And I was like, I'll do it. It's fine. But then what I was realizing, I'm glad we realized it in the very beginning, was I'm getting people calling, wanting us to come to, give them an estimate. I've got guys on site that need stuff. And I'm like, it's taking me 3 days to do 2 hours worth of work on this job because I'm constantly on the phone or I'm constantly having to go do something. And that's where we really kind of stepped back and very early on and said, all right, we need to price every job with our subs doing it. Because, and if I can do it to save some money or be busy or whatever, because then more power to it. But we have to price everything as if all of our guys are going to do it and I just keep things moving.
Yeah. We also noticed early on too that we can't be everything for all people.
Yeah.
You know, we were getting phone calls. I want some, you know, shelving in my pantry, or we want a new front door, and those things are great. And there's I'm sure a wonderful person that can take care of those things. But we realize that we cannot spread ourselves that thin if we're going to focus on the projects that we really enjoy. So.
And so we've really focused on kitchen and bath remodels, additions, and then outdoor living as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite project so far was a covered porch with a two-sided fireplace that we did up in Olmsted.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But it's just staying focused on that, because I mean, I could run around all day somebody pay me $75 to
hang a ceiling
fan. But it's just, you know, she's got realtors that'll call and say, hey, I've got home inspection report.
Right.
Can you go through? And it's like, it's just not enough time to go through that stuff.
It's making the best use of your time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And then it's not a hobby. Like, we're in this to feed our family. It's a career. It's a business. So like, unfortunately, unless you're doing that stuff every day, all day long, and you have like two or three guys, you're paying $10 an hour to do that stuff, you're not going to make any money doing that. And that may come across cold or wrong, but like, it's not a hobby. Like, I'm doing this to put food on the table. So
totally.
It's a good thing you guys learned that early. I mean, it's because there's so many small business owners that just spin their wheels on being the day-to-day tasks, you know, especially in contracting. You see that all the time.
Yeah,
with people trying to.
Well, and I think that comes back to her photography business too.
Another
because
thing that I learned.
There's another thing that she learned is, what am I gonna? She specialized in kind of creating an art wall with your photography, instead of just being a mom with a camera. Because there's a lot of moms with cameras that'll do you a photo shoot for $50 and here's your CD. You know what I mean? So you have to kind of sell yourself and what you do well. And I think that's where we've kind of really set ourselves apart a little bit.
Right.
It's differentiation, because whether it's real estate, whether it's photography, those industries are commoditized. So what can you do to stand out in the marketplace?
That's right.
And so you focus on what you do well, just like you said.
And one thing that we've realized is that we can set ourselves apart just by calling people back.
Exactly.
And developing customer relationships.
Because contractors, they have a reputation.
That's right.
And so, you know, when you're actually calling people back and doing what you say, trust us. We know real estate agents work with a lot of contractors, and then sometimes it's just like,
I mean, it's frustrating. It is. And we are relational people. Like, we love to build relationships. And so I feel like that's one thing that we do well is, you know, when we meet a client and we start beginning a project, like, we are quick to develop a relationship that, you know, is healthy for working, but also just that they feel comfortable, because it's a huge undertaking to have, you know, your kitchen ripped apart for three or 4 weeks, and we're in your space, we're in your face, and we're leaving our mark on your house, and so we know that that's uncomfortable, and we know that that's hard for people.
Yeah.
So we try to, you know, build a relationship where it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
As much as possible.
That goes a long way.
Right.
Jeez, that does.
Now, you guys use something that's called a design build approach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind elaborating on that? What does that mean?
Yeah, so a design build firm is, where the client is going to hire us at the very beginning, and then we are going to work towards the design. We'll pull in an architect if we need it, or an engineer, and we do all of that with them. So we're working on the design part together, and then it transitions right into the construction piece versus just the client figuring out the design on their own and needing to, you know, hire an architect or, you know, trying to pull all this design stuff together and then getting different contractors to bid it and then finding out which one they want to work with and then moving into the construction phase. This is just more of a streamlined approach. So they have one point of contact for the entire project. And we really walk with them through every piece of it. So, you know, even with design selections like granite or tile or, you know, flooring or even paint colors, backsplash, all of those things, I actually, you know, walk with my clients through that. We go to the slab yards together and I help them, you know, pick out the slabs of granite that they want. We go to the tile showroom together. So all of that is so overwhelming for people that don't do this all the time. And it's stressful. It's very stressful and it's hard. And so trying to minimize that, you know, stress on our clients is one of our goals for that piece of it. So I really try and help do that by walking through. And so that's what the design build firm is. So we are just one point of contact for the whole thing.
It sounds like it would be so much easier to go that route.
Streamlined process. Yeah.
So the interesting thing is some people want, they're like, well, I want to get stuff myself. And then what you don't realize is that, like, well, you didn't order them on time. Now your house is sitting waiting a week for me to get this material in. Mm-hmm. And that's not on us because you wanted to take that responsibility.
But you should have told me.
Well, but we've really gotten to the point now where we're feeling people out in the beginning. Like, do they have a realistic budget first and foremost? How much has HGTV ruined that? Yeah. And then, are they going to give us the opportunity to handle this for them? Mm-hmm. Like, you're hiring me. It's my job to stress about it. Yeah. That somebody didn't show up today. That's what you're paying me for. Like, yeah. I'm going to get this stuff done. And that approach really comes from, to be honest with you, Ryan Holmes, like the customer service in from Ryan Holmes and really walking the customer from start to finish, helping them understand the construction process.
And your scheduling too also.
Yeah, and scheduling
that
too.
That was really just drilled into you.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean scheduling?
Oh, it's like, I mean, like you need to, like, I'm not starting your job until I know all the material is ordered and when we're going to get it. I'm not going to, and then what we try to do is, I know that if we're going to have cabinets delivered on Friday to install Monday, I'm not going to start tearing out your kitchen until I need 2 days to do demo and prep. Then I'm not going to start doing anything till Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So that way you have your space for as long as possible. And then because you hear horror stories of people have had their kitchen tore up for 3 weeks waiting on cabinets.
Yeah.
Because the guy went in there to do some work to be able to collect some money, and then he's going to come back. You know what I mean?
And the cabinets weren't ready or whatever.
And the cabinets weren't ready. The granite wasn't ordered or whatever. And so it's really trying to streamline that so that I'm in your house for the least amount of time as possible for your sake and for mine. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be able to move on to the next project. I don't like things lingering where I got to keep coming back because it's not done. I want to get in, get out for your benefit too.
So when we're talking about kitchens, what do you see people doing with new kitchens? What are they ordering? What's trending?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to say. So most of the kitchens that we've done have been just really cosmetic. So we're painting cabinets, changing out countertops, painting the walls, adding a backsplash or changing out the backsplash. That's probably been about half. And then the others have been more structural where we're taking out walls or we're replacing the cabinets but maybe leaving the same footprint that was there. We have a project going on right now where we removed two walls in the kitchen and we really gutted the entire thing. So took down both walls and now added all new cabinets, a huge new island. A lot of people are going with white. You know, it's just a timeless color for cabinets. You know, it was big back several years ago. Now it's kind of coming back. So white is huge right now. White mm-hmm. and grays, obviously.
It's almost when you see brown, you're like,
it's dark. What's ew.
Going on? I have black walls in my kitchen.
Awesome. Brian lives in the bat cave. Yes,
yeah, so it's just changing the cabinets is a big deal. Is a big deal. And countertops, too. So.
You mentioned HGTV a minute ago. We get called the Property Brothers all the time. What do you guys get called, if anything?
Which is funny to me because neither one of us know anything about contracting, so.
I think they just call us that because we're brothers.
Probably,
it's just your brothers and
your
real estate.
I would be the one that does all the sales stuff, and you would be the, because you wear flannel.
Nice. Or plaid, at least.
No, oh, man. We wouldn't last one. No. We'd get sued within 20 minutes. Oh, yeah.
That'd be bad.
Anything with contract.
We do get the Chip and Joanna a lot.
Yeah.
And look, our daughter loves that because she loves Fixer Upper. She loves the show. And so our kids homeschool 2 days a week.
So what, do they go to school?
That's allowed?
So it's a school, it's a university model school. So they go to school 3 days a week in a regular classroom with regular teachers. And then the teacher gives the parents the curriculum for Wednesday and Friday. And we
No kidding. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I'm home 2 days a week with three kids schooling.
But it was about a month ago, maybe a little over a month ago. I was at home. She was getting ready to start home study. And I had asked her, hey, did you talk to so-and-so? And she's like, no, I didn't. And I said, well, you need to call her. And she said, well, you need to call her. I said, I'm not calling.
It was a problem that the client, problem, like, yeah. We needed
and
to deal
my
with.
My daughter looked at me and was like, Daddy, you are acting just like Chip. making Joanna call everybody. Right? We get that a lot, but Chip and Joe are great. And
they're extremely talented, and that is a really high bar.
Yeah, that's a bar that's set really high. And you probably don't want a camera following me around.
Get that thing out of my face right now. Uh-huh. I don't want to deal with this. He's like,
I need a moment.
Everybody out. Everybody out.
I'm still blown away by the 3 day a week homeschool.
So it's a university model.
Can you pick 3 days a week that you want to
do? The school run. I mean, it's a school.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, you know, no, if we have a holiday on a Monday, the kids are going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I want my 3 days. Yeah. Is there a flex schedule?
No, there's no flex schedule.
So Thanksgiving weekend, there's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's
It's good.
All right, so where do you guys serve?
Yeah. Well, we're my real estate license is in North Carolina, and his general contracting license in North Carolina. So that's obviously we're in North Carolina. We are in the North Charlotte area, so a lot of Concord, Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, Lake Norman, kind of north of Harris Boulevard is a lot of our projects, but we do have some in South Park that we were doing also.
Awesome. I used to go float out in Huntersville.
Oh.
Tell me about floating. What is that?
Like on the lake?
No. Floating inside the isolation. You've never heard of floating?
Have you really never heard of this?
No. I really and truly have no idea.
Okay, so there's this spa. It's called Boyance. It's in Huntersville.
Boyance,
because you float.
Right.
Okay, so the concept with the isolation tank is, okay, so there's this pod. Think of like a tanning bed, just a little bit more depth,
okay.
A little taller. Okay. But anyway, there's 10 inches of water.
Oh, my gosh.
And they fill it with 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt. And so you get inside this tub, this tank, and you close it in. So there's no light. You got earplugs in to keep water from out. So there's no sound. And the water is the same temperature as your skin. So it's supposed to be about 97 degrees, something like that. So you're floating inside this chamber, and there's no light, no sound. But it's very relaxing. They say 1 hour of floating equals 6 hours of sleep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's very deep.
So you lay there for an hour, or you float?
Yes, you float for an hour. And so, like, it's funny because you can close your eyes or open your eyes.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And so I've done it a while. I've for purposes that's like, it's a long drive for me. It's, you know, and I got to block out half a morning or the whole morning to go. So I canceled the membership, but it's a great place. But yeah, I mean, for when I was doing it, I was doing it like probably once a week.
Wow.
And if you do it like every day, do you know Joe Rogan?
No.
Have you heard of Joe Rogan? Well, he does it all the time. That's actually where I got the idea. But it's, I mean, it's amazing. It's so relaxing when you get out. We actually did a video and a podcast with the owner.
Oh, I thought you meant a video of you.
Last October. Yeah, it was probably over
a year. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like last October.
Really?
But it's really relaxing, and it's good for just clearing, like meditate. It's like meditating on steroids.
Right.
So I meditate a lot, not consistently like I should be, but back then when I was floating, I was meditating daily, and then getting inside this chamber is just so relaxing. But
so floating. That's interesting.
So
I'm gonna have to look into
look,
that.
Look, isolation tank. Okay. Or sensory deprivation tank. That's what it's called. It's
really cool.
Chris, yeah, I can see it now, though. You would spend an hour inside that thing thinking of all the things
that you should and could be doing. Now, it is. It's not like you're going to go in one time and just master it. It is practice. That's why, like, I would really, like, if it's something that interests you, start with, like, meditating.
Yeah.
Like, download the Calm app or go on YouTube and just kind of, like, do it that way, and then when you think you're prepared enough.
This is why I can't even like do cardio exercise, because it's like, oh my gosh, I need yes. to do. I'm not productive.
See,
right
that's
now.
Why that's why you need it. That's why you need to meditate.
It would help. It probably would help you.
Just sit still.
I remember when
it takes practice, but I tell you what, it's relaxing.
When I closed my eyes, I felt like I was like going through the solar system, like it was like all the stars were coming. I'd open them up. Yeah. Or it might have been the opposite. Maybe it was when I opened them. I can't remember, but yeah, it was crazy relaxing.
1,200 pounds of salt.
Yeah, you literally just float.
You're floating. Like you're floating, and it's
you can't feel anything. You can't see anything. You can't hear anything.
Oh my god!
It's great.
I might have to try this just to see.
And
how
the buzzer goes off.
They can play music. Like they play like soft music while you're getting in there to kind of set the tone. And then when you're waking up,
that kind of sounds like a whale.
Anyway, we got off on a long tangent about floating.
Floating.
I love floating though; it's fun, man. I need to go back.
All right, so Huntersville is the area that you can go floating.
Yes. Voyance.
I think they have one in Waxhaw. You said maybe Lake Wylie, right?
No, that's a different company. That's not. It's coming soon in Lake Wylie, but yeah.
Okay.
So if you don't meditate, do you guys do anything for personal development? Now that you're entrepreneurs, what do you guys do to kind of dive into that world, or have you not looked into that yet?
Judging on the looks on their face,
no.
Well, we don't meditate, but you know,
it's one of those things where like we spend so much time working, but because we're doing it together, we get to spend time together, right? I mean, there's like, hey, let's go grab some lunch. Let's talk about this project that we're coming up, so we can finalize the scope and. But we spend time together. We go to projects together. I mean, so I think we're always. But that's part of owning your own business. You're kind of always on, right?
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is like I was still able to coach my daughter's soccer team, at the school that they go to only 3 days a week. And you know, practice was at like 2:30, 3:00. But I was able to make my schedule because we own our own business. I coach my sons in basketball and things like that. So we just create around those things, and I know like, hey, I'm gonna have to do a couple things this evening after basketball practice or whatever.
Right.
But it's a give and take, and I would much rather be doing what we're doing than back in corporate America of any kind.
Right. Totally.
That's
right. So I enjoy the freedom.
So it's been almost a year since you guys have had it. What are some of the big takeaways there? What are some of the things that you feel like you've learned or?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, like we've kind of already touched on, we've just learned that there are projects that we really want to focus on, and then there are projects that we're okay letting go. That as long as we, you know, do what we say we're going to do and return phone calls, that that already gives us a step above, you know, a lot of contractors right now. We've learned a tremendous amount of, as far as scheduling projects and just different ways to handle contracts and things like that. We've learned that everything needs to be written down so that. A lot of times what we think is an assumption, the homeowner is not clear on, which that's true because they're not in construction and they are, this may be the first and only renovation they've ever done, whereas this is so common for us. So we've realized and learned that we've got to make sure that everything is very clear, which is why we've transitioned to doing more of this, what we call the comprehensive project evaluation instead of just a quote.
Yeah.
And it gives us a chance to be really clear on this is what we're doing, this is what we're not doing. We're not painting that wall. We're only painting this wall. You know, just all of that. So everything is really clear and in writing.
It's great because just setting the expectations.
Yes.
A lot of people don't do that.
Yes.
I've been guilty of that, like, when I first started real estate. So it's a growing.
And I mean, I feel like we have tons of areas that we still need to grow in. But one thing even that we've just put into place just within the last couple of months is, I don't know why we didn't do it beforehand, but just a pre-construction meeting. So we've done everything. We've got the contract and the scope and all that signed. And there might be a downtime where we're waiting for materials. And so then, like, right before we get ready to start, you know, he goes out and does a full pre-construction meeting and, again, walks everybody through one more time. Everybody's on the same page about what's coming out, what's not coming out, how are we going to access the house, what restroom are our guys going to... I mean, just all of these details that need to be discussed. And that just has really made our clients just feel just in the know and that they're really clear on everything. And then before the project is done, you know, it's hard as homeowners, you're living in the space and you see stuff all the time. Oh, there's a dent over there or there's a mark over here. And it's hard not to want to call us every 5 seconds and say, well, what about this? What are you going to do here? So we really tried to, again, set the expectation that we're going to come back through a week prior to the end of the project and we're going to walk through. And quality control is like his, I mean, he is obsessed with quality and just perfection.
Because it's our name, it's our brand.
Yeah, you got Turner right there on
one bad experience could ruin your whole
all that we've worked for.
Yeah.
So he goes through and then we do a pre-completion meeting. So we do a pre-construction meeting and then a pre-completion meeting, and that is just really to make sure that we've got everything that needs to be touched up, and that if there's any outstanding items that the homeowners have noticed that they want us to complete, so that way, again, everybody's on the same page, and that way when we say we're done, we are all in agreement that we are done. And there's not going to be, about this? Yeah. What about this? So,
you didn't put the air filters back in. They're filthy now that your guys have been knocking everything
exactly.
out. Well, and one of the interesting things is because we've run into it several times when people will say, well, what's your budget? Do you have any idea of a budget? No. Well, we think we could do this for $20,000. And it's helping them understand, well, you've got about a 480 square feet here, and what you want to do is you want to turn this into a certain, bathroom, bedroom, addition type thing within your structure, and you need to factor somewhere around about $100 a square foot. Like, so what you think you could have it done for is not realistic. Mm-hmm. And if some guy came in and said, oh yeah, I could probably do this for 20 grand, he didn't spend very much time actually looking at everything that needed to be done. And so we've kind of transitioned from, like, people say, well, I want to get an estimate. Well, I can give you an estimate. What do you want to do? Because I've done bathrooms from 5,000 to 25,000 based on what you're telling me, but it depends on what you want to do.
What materials you're using,
kind of finish level you're doing. And that's where we've kind of transitioned more to a project evaluation, where we give you a massive scope of, here's everything we're doing, here's the things we're not doing, and here's how much it's going to cost for you to make this investment. And helping them understand too that basically what we're doing is we're taking this money out of this bucket and we're moving it over to this bucket. Like, you're investing in, it's your money that you're reinvesting in yourself, especially in real estate, in your house, because you're not really going to lose it if you invest it right. And that's where Lindsay's really helpful, because from a real estate standpoint, she can help them understand, hey, house prices in your area are not going to be able to support you doing this dream kitchen, spending 50 grand. Yeah. Like, you're never going to get that back out.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciate that too, because they're like, other contractors might come in and say, hey, yeah, no problem, I'll do you a $50,000 kitchen. If you want it done, we'll do it, but just know that you might not get the money back out of it.
Yeah.
So
we try to help clients understand the return on their investment. Exactly. Because that's important.
And those are the three, it sounds like those are the areas that you guys work, kitchens, bathrooms, outdoor livings. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the biggest ROIs, but the numbers don't always correlate exactly.
That's right.
So,
yeah. Especially in certain neighborhoods, a neighborhood might, just an older neighborhood from the 80s, most of the houses are not being, renovated, and then you want to put in a $50,000 kitchen.
Yeah.
That's great, but it may not be the best. We may need to scale it back a little bit. So people appreciate that information.
Cool. All right, you guys. Awesome stuff. Take the last minute, wrap it up, take us home. Maybe just remind us who you are, what you guys do, and where people can find you guys.
Yeah. So Turner Contracting Services, we would love to help with, renovating kitchens, baths, outdoor living projects. We also like new construction, and so adding additions to homes is something that we also are, excited about doing. We are on Facebook, Turner Contracting Services. We're on Instagram. We're on Pinterest. And you can find us online at turnercontractingservices.com.
So if somebody's on Pinterest or Instagram, just type in Turner Contracting Services.
Cool. With an S.
Sounds good. Well, Lindsay, Sean,
thanks
for coming on Jones.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.